Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and I am so glad to be here as a messenger of Christ to bring to you the blessing for today. We are in sunny but windy coastal Texas, and when the winds pick up, sometimes our systems get broken. So I've asked Tony to ride as navigator beside me and make sure we always can bring up your calls, and even if I have to step away from the computer to stay strong on my phone signal. So it's a great day here where it's sunny, beautiful, and we're having a lovely but hot summer. I hope that the weather has cleared up for all of you, and we have prospects of a wonderful holiday. I think with a Q&A session now, we'll have a better, maybe a clearer background. So we are on the Q&A signal. Anyone who wants to talk, please sign on. Come on forward. We want to hear from you. You know, it really, really helps for people to hear about your miracles and your blessings and what's happening in your life, because all of us are a little bit uncertain about what is or is not a blessing, what is or is not a miracle. And we're devoting our whole summer to talk about that exact and very thing. It helps to hear what other people have to say, because each one of us is unique. And we all have our own special blessings, our own special miracles, and our own special discoveries in life. So I'm going to open our calls right now. Susan, you were the first one on, so you're on.
Hi, Glenda. Well, you know, I noticed that I had a real rough month, and what happens is something happens and then something else happens, and I spiral down. And most recently I realized that I was always afraid of that. I always felt I had to keep myself on top of things for the fear that I wouldn't be able to, you know, raise it up and come out of it. And, you know, it's been such a trying time, but at the same time, I guess you can say you're a blessing, because I'm learning a lot and I'm realizing, you know, more of what I need to do to make sure that the connection to my higher self is really, really strong, because I need every ounce of information, you know, that I can get. So, I mean, I went to the cancer center. Everything was all messed up. I basically wound up, I staved off a flu for a few days by miracle, because I had to take a CAT scan, and then I had to go the next day for other things, and I knew I needed to get there because I'm on a study, and everything's timed, and I couldn't put it off. So I fell apart on Friday night. It was just, but that my body allowed me to go through what I went through on Thursday and Friday was nothing short of a miracle. And then it was, oh my God, I haven't had a flu, Glenda, and I don't know, over 20 years. It's been that long. And so,
wow.
You know, guidance, you know, basically, you know, got me through. Yesterday was horrible, and I haven't taken Tylenol in 20 years. That's the truth. But I needed it. I said, you got to take this. You just do. And but by today, I didn't need it. And, you know, I'm you know, working better. But I feel like one of the questions I need for you is, what's a good oil to use to as an immune booster? But, you know, I just wanted to share that. And it's just been, I just can't wait to look back and say, this is behind me. Oh, you have no idea.
Well, you know, thanks for sharing that for many reasons. First, just for letting us know how you're doing, but also because it's a great example of how life sometimes has to purge out, well, shall we say, toxins that we have absorbed over the years, and we didn't even notice it, slowly by slowly. We collected a little bit of rust in our pipes, so to speak.
Yeah.
we collect a little bit of viruses in our body, a little bit of sludge here, a little bit of goop there, a little bit of emotional issues here, there, and everywhere. And we can't get rid of it all. And our bodies just do a grand flush sometimes. And sometimes they do it by bringing on something like a cold or flu. I had a very lovely encounter with my physician, my medical doctor this last week. Nothing because I was sick. It was just, you know, regular checkup. And I told him that I had been going through some just extraordinary stress the last few months, and was there anything special I could do for it? And I think you all will just love his answer. He said, Glenda, the human body is the greatest work of art God ever created. All you have to do is pay attention to it, listen to it, and do what it asks. And I went, oh my God, a medical doctor actually said that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, wow. You know, I know that he was a man of faith, but you know, you didn't hear words like that coming from a scientific practitioner years ago. And for him to say that, I just felt like $1 million. I felt like, wow, that's why I've managed to stay well through all of this that I've been through. Because every day I will get up and I will stand outside and be on the ground. I'll meditate. I'll pray. I'll have my coffee. I'll just sit there and think about my day, and I'll ask my body if there's anything I need to do. And I'll get toned up for the day. And I realized I've been instinctively doing exactly what he told me to do. But you know what? Most of us don't do that. And I wanted to pass that on because it's a good protocol. However you would choose to do it and however it would work in your life. This is the theme I want to focus on for the whole of this summer, is that our miracles are all unique and personal. We think of a miracle being like all the ones that Yeshua created. You know, if we are having problems with our eyes, we expect him to come in and heal our eyes because he made a man to see. If we're having trouble walking, we think he'll come in and help us walk because he helped the lame to walk. So we tend to put miracles into a template form, and that sets us up for disappointment, because actually we're the one that set ourselves up for the miracle. I want to do this is just an approximate quote because I don't have his words in front of me. But Albert Einstein said, a miracle is just a discovery that hasn't happened yet.
Right.
And so if it's a discovery that hasn't happened yet, does that say something about your participation with it, in it becoming your next level of discovery, your openness to letting life in? Now, I'm not saying letting every part of the world in, because sometimes there's parts of the world we really don't want to let in, and we do have to be discerning about that. But letting life in. And I have found in every seminar I have ever conducted, and right now, they're beyond numbering. There have been so many. If you count the webinars, the conference call seminars, and all the live ones. I just did a wonderful seminar in Austin live last weekend, and it was so great to be really in front of faces that were hungry to hear what Yeshua had to say. But what I wanted to say is, in all of my seminars, everywhere, every time I've ever been, what I find helps people more than anything discover their miracle is if somebody else will speak up and say their miracle, what they were. Because often it's something very unusual, and it stimulates us to think, wow, I didn't have that happen to me, but I also had something ordinary but extraordinary at the same time happen to me. I wonder if that was a miracle. Then people start sharing, and the audience begins blossoming around the idea. It's like a garden coming to life with people sharing their moments of discovery, their moments of faith that they walked blindly down the corridors of life, not knowing where they were going. And all of a sudden, the reason exposed itself. And they walked simply by faith. I've got a message about walking by faith that I want to give you today. But Tony, is there someone else you can open up to the call? I had to step outside to get a better signal.
Hi, this is Eva.
Hi, Eva.
I would like to ask blessings for a couple of people. I sent out an email blast last night, but I also wanted to ask for the blessing for today. A boy named Gabriel, who just graduated from the eighth grade in the school where my daughter teaches, the Waldorf School. Leilani is my daughter, and her very good friend who also teaches there, Rochelle, is the mother of Gabriel, and they just discovered that he has a massive tumor in his chest, which is pushing on organs, and it's growing, and it's become quite a traumatic thing for the Rochelle and Dave are the parents, and Gabriel is the boy, and my daughter is Leilani, and her husband is Kevin, and they're all involved with this and very concerned. The parents are very spiritual and want to do the best that they can. He is now in Children's Hospital in Philadelphia doing chemos, hoping to reduce the tumor because it's too large to operate and growing. So I would like
a
blessing for all of them.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I will keep him in my prayers during the week as well.
Thank you. Yeah. And
thank you, Eva, for being such a good friend to the family and letting us help.
And Rochelle was very pleased when my daughter told her that I would put him on the blessing list, and they're very happy about that. So we have, you know, positive. They're very positive and trying to do the best they can for the boy, even to the point of using humor, which I thought was amazing that they recognize. They just have to, you know, keep his spirits up. And hopefully things will turn around.
Oh, bless his heart. Oh, my gosh. This breaks my heart to hear it. But also, I think he will have a miracle that will change his life and give him strength through the whole rest of his life.
Well, that's what we're hoping for.
And sometimes it's our hardships that then become our miracle.
Yes.
And our strength.
Yes.
And a lot depends upon the attitude that we take upon these hardships, how we come through it. So
this is why I was very happy to hear my daughter after having conversations with the parents and how they are really working to just do the best in for him and to keep his spirits up and to think in terms of life ahead rather than thinking that this is the end.
That's great. Okay. Well, you're in my heart. They're in my heart. And Tony, would you bring someone else on the call so we can get as many in as possible?
Hi, Glenda. This is Joni. I would ask for blessing for a couple people. One, a friend, Nancy, who in her 50s, married, children, has just found out she's got Parkinson's. She asked for prayer, but you know, she has the most amazing attitude that I feels to me kind of like a lesson to all of us. She's taking this as a heads up to improve her life and sort of a wake-up call. She's changed her life dramatically, and she's looking at it in those terms rather than as a verdict. So to her, it's kind of open-ended possibilities here. And she's
That's awesome.
Isn't it? I mean, I thought, wow,
yeah.
You know, this is something we all need to kind of remember.
Not yes, we do.
Just a wake-up call, not a verdict, you know. And
mm-hmm.
So I'd like to offer her up, you know, for a blessing to encourage her. She's getting everybody in her family changing their lifestyle and doing all these amazing
That's
things.
That's great.
You know. And
sometimes miracles come in strange packages. See, that's why I said, you know, we have to look for our own miracle.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Joni. I look forward to being on the class next week, and I'll take this opportunity to announce we are starting next Sunday a 3-week webinar called Attracting Your Own Miracle. And I can't emphasize how important it is at this point in time when there's so many things in the world we could view as trouble. We could simply change our point of view, change how we deal with it, how we move through it to turn anything into a miracle. As Yeshua said when he was asked about why he didn't spend much time with people who were advantaged and enlightened and prosperous, he said, well, they don't need a miracle. He focused his miracles always on the people who needed them. So, and then from the miracle came the great revelation of life to those people. So maybe anyone who has a hardship is being blessed with an opportunity to receive a miracle that will change their life. It's all in how you view it and how you, but you see, anyone could say that getting a salary raise is like a miracle, or getting a great bill of health is like a miracle, or somebody passing away and leaving you their new Eldorado is a miracle. Anybody could say that, but that's not the way miracles usually come. They usually come as an indigenous part of who you are as a person and the issues you're dealing with as a person, in the context you're living in as a person, with your next step of faith as a person, which is why at the end of every miracle Yeshua performed, he said, it is by your faith that you were made whole. So we'll get more and more into that one. But for now, Tony, can you bring somebody else on?
Yes, I'm on, Glenda.
Hi.
It's Stormy.
Oh, hi.
Yes, all week long I've been focusing on one of the first angels you brought forth, the angel of joy. And so I'm bringing the blessing.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one well.
And you sort of did two of them. The one you did for Sheila was another
uh-huh.
copy of it. But I still got all those photographs you gave me years ago. And I just wanted to bring that energy to the blessing of the angel of joy.
Oh, that's great, Stormy. Thank you, because also you brought up another subject I want to tell everybody about. As a way of really, really substantially backing up this summer of miracles and our webinar coming up, I was inspired by higher guidance to create 3 new essential oil blends. And one of them is called Happy. That's what you made me remember that when you said it, Stormy. And one of the reasons I was made to bring that is because if we can find our happiness inside of anything, we're only 2 inches away from the miracle. It's kind of like a Geiger counter. You bring happiness to something, anything, and you will attract the miracle. And I was so glad to hear Eva say that the family was helping Gabriel with humor, because that will help the miracle come. And this essential oil, Happy, it's not designed to take your attention anywhere except to your heart, just to be happy where you are. It's fresh, it's clean, it's outwardly focused with enthusiasm and positive expectation. And how can that not attract something positive? Now, the other two things that can actually block a miracle are the other oil blends I created, and they're all available for you now online. One is called Fearless. And fearless is not just being courageous or bold or full of guts and moxie. No, it's not that. It's just living without being intimidated by life. It's living with a positive expectation about life. It's living knowing that through faith, you'll find exactly where you're going, and you're being protected, and you're being shielded by the light of God and the love of Christ and the love of all those around you who care for you. And I could see in everything that Eva was talking about with Gabriel that his family is doing all the right things to keep him fearless. You see, there's nothing that blocks miracles more than fear. Actually, the thing that blocks love the most is fear. You know, let's just say we move into a new neighborhood. We don't know if the neighbors will like us, or if they'll be kind, or if they'll be good neighbors. So we just kind of huddle in, and we don't talk to anybody until somebody talks to us first. And then all of a sudden, one day, we're driving by, and we wave at somebody, and we smile. And they smile back, and it's like, oh, okay. So we take a deep breath. Then we dare to go out in the front yard and start talking to somebody. And it's a little better and a little better and a little better. We find out, gee, I should have done this the day I moved in. And actually, in the old days, and I'm talking about the very old days, like when I was a kid, if you moved into a neighborhood, there would usually be a welcoming party. All the neighbors would come by and bring you baskets of food or cookies or something and welcome you in. It's not done anymore because we're living in a world that is underscored by caution. Maybe not exactly by fear, but caution and protection and backing off from each other. And my friends, that blocks miracles. If you could just even go to the grocery store and be fearless, so that you could smile at somebody, talk to whoever's ahead of you or behind you in the checkout line, you know, you can't find something, you go to the manager and say, hey, you guys still have this product? I love it. You know, fearless. Because maybe the manager will say, well, we just stopped handling because nobody asked for it, but we'll order it. Huh? Well, that's a baby miracle in itself. You dared to penetrate a barrier. And how many other people have been wanting that product and they couldn't find it either? Okay. Fearless takes the edge off your anxiety. It's not something, it's the other side of being happy. It's allowing yourself to reach out into more and more environments and find your way through them. Because only if you adventure out will you discover what's been hidden. Let's remember the words of Albert Einstein, okay? A miracle is just something that hasn't been discovered yet. you're not going to discover it if you stay in your bedroom all day long. And even about yourself, you know, I talk to so many people in counseling who haven't dared to think about something the church would not allow them to think about. Like something as wild and wonderful as Yeshua might have traveled to India, but that's not in the scriptures, so we shouldn't think about it. Well, but it wouldn't have been a sin if he did. Why would you think about it? Why wouldn't he want to go there? Do you think he was intimidated by life? Maybe he traveled other places too. Why wouldn't he? Do you think he lived in a box? You see, we can inhibit ourselves with all kinds of things. Fearless is designed to break down your inhibitions so that you can explore the possibilities of life. And that's how you will find your own personal miracle. Now, the third one is a little heavier, but it's still really positive if you think about it. Very positive. We carry around with us a lot of guilt. Not about big, major things we've done wrong. Just things maybe we were guilty about. Maybe we didn't treat our brother or sister right when we were young. Or maybe we disappointed our parents. Or we hated our third grade teacher and played pranks on her all the time. You know, stuff. Just stuff. Or we didn't make everything of our education that we could have. Maybe we had a few too many traffic accidents. There's probably no one on this call who's had any big things to be guilty about. But there are people in the world who've had a lot of big things to be guilty about. And they carry it around like a sack of rocks on their back. And that sack of rocks blocks the miracles. The third essential oil blend is called redemption. And what it's all designed to do is to help you let go. Let go of everything you've ever felt bad about. Just let it go. Because you are blocking many blessings and many miracles. Because you won't let yourself have them. Sometimes we brought in karmic baggage. I know not everybody believes in past lives. And it doesn't matter whether you do or not. Because even if you have never lived before, you think we have, none of us have. We still inherit the baggage from our ancestors. And that's in the Bible. For five generations back, we carry the load of our ancestors. The prophets said that. So there's karmic baggage, whether it's yours or whether it's inherited. And most of the time, we don't even know about it. And redemption is where you take the ticket up to the counter and you cash it in. And you say, I don't want to carry this anymore. I want to be free to be everything God created me to be. And so we're going to learn about all three of these in our webinar. Happiness, fearlessness, redemption, and a whole lot more that will help you come about to your own personal miracle. But every blessing you receive on Sunday is its own setup for miracles. It may not be the miracle, but it's a setup for a miracle. And that's why so many people call back a few Sundays later and say, Glenda, you won't believe what happened. I just kept coming to the blessing and coming and coming. All of a sudden, it was like everything changed. Nobody was listening to me at work. Nobody was taking my suggestions. And then all of a sudden, they implemented my ideas and I got a raise. Well, that's what faith can do. That's what faith can do. And I'm going to give you four little stories. Yes?
You hear the birds chiming behind you?
Yes, I do.
They're singing in joy. They're supporting you. You can hear them back there.
I can, and they're singing here because I'm out under a big oak tree right now, which reminds me of, I got four very quick stories of faith I want to tell all of you, okay? And this will help you. Before, I mentioned the acorns. There were all acorns that have just fallen from the big oak tree of life, of God. And the little acorns look up at the oak tree and they say, "Oh, but I couldn't possibly be that. That's not who I am. How could I ever be that?" And they just dismiss it and discount it. But here comes along this little squirrel, and he says, "Oh, what a yummy acorn. I'm going to plant it so I've got something to eat in the winter." And he digs a little hole, and he plants that acorn. But he forgets about the acorn, and that acorn goes dark. Can't see any light, can't see anything. He's underground, and the ground gets frozen, and it gets all wet, and the acorn gets mushy. And the little acorn says, "Well, I guess I'm all done for. Oh, well, I knew I was nothing anyway. What did I have to lose?" When all of a sudden, there's movement inside that little acorn. Life is starting to happen. You say, "Hey, something's itching. Something's moving. What's moving?" And then he pushes through the earth and he sees the light and he goes, "Wow. Well, there it, I'm green. I thought I was brown. What happened?" And he looks up at the sun and he looks up and he sees the tree and he says, "Hi, Daddy. Wow. Maybe someday I will be like you." Does that sound a lot like you, folks? You might be underground, you might be wildering, you might be feeling a little mushy, but it's all part of the process. The same thing happens to a caterpillar before he becomes a butterfly. You know, a caterpillar starts to get toward the end of his life as a caterpillar, and he's feeling kind of tired, and he's out of juice, and so he latches on to a limb, and he exudes a little bit of sticky stuff, so he'll stick because he just doesn't have any more energy to move anywhere anymore. So he keeps on exuding this little sticky stuff onto the limb, so he'll just stay, he says, "Well, I don't have anywhere to go anymore with my life. So all I can do is I'll just pour my life onto the limb and maybe the limb will benefit from my life." And pretty soon, all this sticky stuff he's exuding starts spilling around him. And it spills around him and it spills around him until it creates a cocoon that's embracing him. And the little caterpillar says, "Well, I guess I'm done for. I guess that was history." And he becomes just a little strand of life, barely holding on inside the cocoon. Then the winter comes and the rains come and the cocoon gets stronger and stronger because it's building up strength to hold itself against the hardship. And inside that cocoon is this little strand of life that still can see the sunlight through the cocoon, and it starts to feel itself get stronger and stronger. And it says, "Wow, I thought I was a goner, but something's happening. That's strange. I thought I was a goner, but here I am, and I'm getting stronger and stronger. And God must be protecting me because I don't know what to do, but I'm just here." And actually, it starts to feed. So maybe I'll feed on the cocoon. You know, I gave the cocoon to the tree. Maybe it's giving it back to me, and he starts to eat on the cocoon, and he eats on the cocoon. And then pretty soon, a little wing peeks out, and another little wing peeks out, and a little leg peeks out, and he's standing on the branch. And he's going, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, what happened? And he grabs onto the branch for dear life. And it's really important that he does, because he doesn't have all his strength yet. And he grabs onto the limb, and he goes, wow, wow, I can walk. And he starts walking on the branch, and he walks on the branch. And he says, I wonder what else I could do. Gee, I wonder what else. I don't know. What? Who am I? I feel so different. Wow. Well, what he's doing, he's acting step by step in faith. In faith. The miracle has already happened, is happening, but he doesn't know it yet. See, the miracle is the whole process. He just doesn't know it because it was all in faith. Everything from latching onto the branch to giving of himself to the branch, to the branch building the cocoon, it was all faith, and he had no idea what was going on. Now he's walking on the branch and building faith, and pretty soon he starts to flap his wings. Wonder what these are for. Gee, they kind of look like leaves. I'll flap them some more. That feels good to flap wings. And pretty soon he flaps and takes off, and we have a butterfly. That's the end point of the miracle. But you see, the whole point of it was all in faith. Now I'm going to tell you about the dragonfly. The dragonfly starts its life off as larvae that its mommy laid over a little swamp water that falls down into the mud. Its life starts in the mud. It's all dark except for maybe a few little filtered rays of light that come in. And it's down there. And it just feeds off of little algae and other green stuff at the bottom of this little swamp water until it gets large enough that its body begins to fill with a little bit of oxygen, just enough air that it floats to the surface of the water. And it's going like, oh my gosh, I'm losing hold. I'm leaving the ground. What's happening to me? I'm going to fly off into Never Never Land. And it comes to the surface. And then on the surface of the water, with its little brand new eyes, it looks up and it looks at the sun for the first time. And there it swims around on the surface of the water. And what it's using to swim with are the very things that will become its wings. And these wings develop in two stages. It has two sets of wings. And the first set of wings are paddles that allow it to paddle along the top of the water. And it's going, wow! I'm aqua surfing. Gee, this is fun. And the night and the day come, and it learns to get underneath the reeds to protect itself from predators that come down to feed on little babies like that. But it manages to survive because it has instincts, and it trusts its instincts about what to do. Remember I told you what my doctor said, trust your instincts? Okay, you trust its instincts. It goes and hides under the reeds, and it comes to life actually at night. It does all of its growth at night because, remember, it was born in the dark waters. So it remembers what to do in the dark waters. And it grows in the dark night when all of the predators are asleep. You know, the birds and the the birds and the owls and the frogs and the other little predators that would be coming along feeding in the daylight. They don't find him at night because he's caught, and he learns to climb up the reeds of the water. And climbing up the reeds of the water, he develops his second set of wings. And then pretty soon he takes off. And he always stays close to the reeds in the water because that's his protection. But, you see, I love the dragonflies because they teach me beautifully how it doesn't matter what conditions you were born in. You could have been born in the darkest swamp water, but God and life will teach you how to build your little paddles, how to learn to breathe underwater, how to rise up to the higher level, how to look for the light, and then create your paddles and find your shelter and grow. And the whole thing is a miracle. But we all have our own miracles that are indigenous to us. Where we were born, how we were born, how we grew up, what our purpose is in life, and what we're going to eventually do to find our flight and our wings to heaven. That's unique for all of us. And what the blessing does every Sunday is unique for each one of you. But it helps to nurture you in your growing miracle because it's feeding your miracle. It's feeding your faith. And you may still be underground. You may be where you can't see daylight right now. But don't worry about it. The miracle of life is still feeding you. And it's pushing you up toward the light. Or it's helping you grow your wings or take your first step. And taking your first step becomes then your second step. And it's all part of the process. Tony, do we have anybody else that has come on board, or are we ready to start our blessing?
Glenda, yeah, hi. And we actually have about six people who are still wanting to get on and ask for a blessing or contribute something. So can we jump right to the next one?
Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
All right.
Hi, Glenda. This is Jenny. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can. Nice to hear from you, Jenny.
Hi. It's too bad we have so many people and we're kind of running late because I have so many things I want to talk about. But one is it's nighttime here. I'm in France again, and I just felt like I had a wonderful story time. So that was right before bed. That was really great. Thank you. I'd like to ask for a blessing for myself and then also for this group that I'm working with now who is playing a part in my miracles and fulfilling a dream that I've always wanted to help to transform the world. And it's with the Empower Movement. And I'm working on some projects, and I would love a blessing for those projects and for the whole group and the wonderful things that are happening there. So, and I may, one more thing too, I've been trying to get a copy of a French Love Without End, and if anybody out there listening right now has a copy that they'd want to sell to me, I'd be very happy.
Okay.
So I guess you could get a hold of you, maybe.
Okay, they're out of print right now, so I don't, but I'll put a call out to see if I can get one. You know, we need to get that back in print, and we could do it. All I need, and maybe you could help me with this, Jenny, the reason I haven't done that is because I had some reports that it was not accurately translated. The people who translated it put a little bit of their own twist on it.
Yeah.
They were a little bit, not anti-Jesus, but they were a little bit, they wanted to modify the Christian element in it. Let's put it that way. And you cannot have Love Without End without the, I mean, we don't preach to people and we don't take a strong Orthodox viewpoint But you can't take out the fact that he was the founder of Christianity.
Right.
I mean, you simply can't. It's non-removable. So I think they modified it a little too much and changed the slant a little too strongly in that direction. And I'd love to have somebody check it and make sure that there are no distortions that are actually incorrect.
Okay.
So
I'll tell
you what. I will send you, if you'll do that, I'll send you one of, I saved, I think, about 6 copies that I was planning to just keep forever. But I'll send you one of my copies if you'll do that for me. Just read it and let me know.
That'd be great. Oh, if you're going to, we should talk before then. I'll let you get going on the call. But
you send me your address and everything. I'll get one to you.
All right. Thanks, Glenda.
Great.
All right. Love you.
Glad to know you're there. Love you, too. And, you know, Jenny, you brought up a wonderful way to close this call and a wonderful top note on what we're planning for our summer theme of and our webinar. Is it's not just our personal miracle that we're working on, but a miracle for humanity.
Yeah.
You know, we see lots of troublesome things going on, but you have to remember that all of humanity is going through its stages of either being a buried acorn, a dragonfly that hasn't floated to the surface yet, a butterfly still in the cocoon, and we could use so many, many metaphors in nature to compare to the struggle. And you've probably heard many times, so I won't go over it again, but if a butterfly doesn't struggle on its way out of the cocoon, it actually won't live. So the struggles are actually part of the miracle. But what we want to do is strengthen the faith that allows us to struggle with purpose and struggle together with hope and glory and expectation of all the goodness that will come from it. So, Tony, if you will just make sure we're on mute, I will start my prayer to Yeshua. I would like all the blessing givers to join me. I am okay, great. I am outside. A wonderful little side note to having a bad signal inside is that brought me outside, so I'm standing in the grass. And I've been out here under a beautiful oak tree, standing in the grass the whole time and feeling the essence of everything we've been talking about today, and only a quarter of a mile one long block from the Gulf. It's a wonderful feeling, and I'm going to say my prayer to Yeshua. When I'm finished, I ask that you surrender into prayer in your heart. Don't even say your prayer in words, just let it come from your heart. Because words are so attached to our mind. And we'll start thinking about the problems involved with our prayer. Just let the prayer come from your heart, okay? Dear Yeshua, we thank you for being with us in all of our moments of darkness and struggle to give us courage to know that it's all part of our pathway of faith. That we will emerge into the light and we will find our wings and our legs or our peak on the mountain. Wherever our darkness leads us to find our glory in discovery. For each of us, we know, is a unique miracle planted by God from the beginning of our creation, yet to be discovered. Be with us, we pray. In our discovery and in our work with others that they may discover who they are and how they may be the best in their life, wherever they are, whatever they are going through. We love you with all our hearts. and we know that you have given your life to love us. We ask all of these things in your name with the full expectation that the Holy Spirit will now be with us to guide us and bless us and enrich our life. Amen. Let us begin. Amen. Your blessing is now complete, except that you need to go and rest and receive. Finish receiving and let all that is in you come alive, be nourished, and be held closer to God. Bye-bye for now, and I wish you a blessed and beautiful week. We'll be together next week, and I look forward to seeing you in the webinar. There's going to be so much more we learn about these wonderful things.